The first feature today is by Emma Brennan and is being read by Ian Robertson.
It's coming up to that time of year when lots of my friends and relatives have birthdays. As we are all knocking on a bit in years, some of us would rather forget about birthdays instead of celebrating them. But with significant milestones looming, a few, and there have been parties including one that was a 1970s fancy dress. It took me right back to our childhood birthday parties, during that decade, and how much they differ from those expected by today's youngsters. Going bowling or having a themed party with formal entertainment was not an option when we were young, and we never got a goodie bag to take home. The only sign we were having a party was the odd balloon suspended from the ceiling. As kids in the mid-70s, the birthday parties we attended largely involved a table loaded with the kind of snacks we wouldn't get at home. Hula hoops, Wotsits, chipsticks, skips and quavers, to name but a few. Dessert consisted of chocolate marshmallow tea cakes, wagon wheels, club biscuits and Cadbury's chocolate fingers. There was always a birthday cake too, with lit candles that proved irresistible to children other than the birthday girl or boy. Many a tear was shed when someone else blew out the candles. We were also allowed to drink fizzy pop that hyped us up, usually Corona Cherryade or cream soda, poured from a glass bottle, which was returnable. Yes, long before the days of recycling, you could get 10p back if you returned the empty bottle to the shop. We would all stand around the table before what my dear dad termed snatch and grab began, with children usually starved of salty snacks, diving into bowls like ravenous beasts. Dad always puzzled over why kids lost all sense of propriety at parties, often describing us as having gone berserk. What he didn't realise at the time was that not only were these snacks and drinks full of sugar, they were also laden with E-number additives. You can see why the parties became more boisterous and often get out of hand after the food and drink was served. There's absolutely zero nutritional value to any of it, but it tasted really good to us. After the food, there would be usually a simple game, such as musical chairs, which was an easy one to facilitate if you had a cassette player and enough chairs. It all got very competitive, with children virtually coming to blows in order to conserve a seat. Pass the Parcel was another game which was cheap but often caused ructions. The prize, something typically 1970s made of plastic, was wrapped in about 30 sheets of paper. I remember there being a lot of crying from those that were left prizeless at the end of it all. Tempers flared, probably due to the mix of sugar and additives from the party snacks. Of course, our parents had the expense of finding us a birthday present to take to every party. In the 70s, I remember giving one friend a vinyl single, Under the Moon of Love by Shawadi Wadi. Her main present was a pony. Yes, I was very jealous. I couldn't really compete with that. When she came to my party later in the year, she gave me a single by Max Bygraves. Yep, not really a fair exchange. My dear auntie put a lot of effort into her kids' parties. She always made copious amounts of egg sandwiches, which she knew were my favourites. When it came to games, I was a shy child and didn't like those with potential to make me look like an idiot. I could just about tolerate Oranges and Lemons or The Farmer's in His Den, but trying to pin the tail on a donkey while blindfolded was downright embarrassing. I recall a game which my auntie may well have made up that involved trying to eat a bar of chocolate with a blunt knife and fork while blindfolded. So I didn't want to do that. Not even the pull of a chocolate free-for-all could help me overcome the urge to hide behind my mother's legs. I really look forward to our best friends' parties because their mum made such delightful party food. She would labour for hours creating jelly in glasses with multicoloured layers all set individually. Their parties were for the first time where I tried millionaire shortbread. My goodness, that was a revelation. I plagued mum to make those for months after every party. Our friend's mum also made peppermint chocolate crunch. Mr. Kipling never got a look in at their house. When my mum was growing up in the 1940s, she didn't get invited to many parties, largely due to the shortage of special food due to the war. However, the family of her friend Angela, the local shopkeeper's daughter, knew how to put on a memorable spread. Mum recalled, Angela's parties were the ones everyone wanted to be invited to. There was wobbly jelly in the shape of a rabbit, and often a pink blancmange version. The thing that fascinated me the most was the pink sponge birthday cake. I thought it was magical. I asked my mum if they had sandwiches. She replied, "Who cares about sandwiches when there was pink cake on offer?"